The federal government is expected to unveil its long-awaited reforms to the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act today. Drafts of the legislation have been supplied to key stakeholders, raising concerns from both environmentalists and industry. Shortly, you'll hear from what's known as the Lock the Gate Alliance. But let's start with how the business community views the changes. Bran Black is the Chief Executive of the Business Council of Australia and joins me now. Bran, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You've seen the details of these changes. What's your report card?
Well, I think it's important to note the fact that at the end of the day, these reforms, or a version of these reforms, absolutely needs to happen. We need to move forward with these measures to try and address the sluggishness, the cumbersome nature of the existing EPBC system. The problem right now, as it stands, is that projects just aren't getting through. And we also see on the environmental side that environmentalists say that reform needs to happen. As we've had an opportunity now to review drafts of the legislation, our view is that the potential for change is certainly there, but there are key concerns that business has that needs to be addressed. Now, on our side of the ledger, that is the business side, we say that in order to get those critical minerals projects, the renewable energy projects, and the housing that the country needs, we've really got to look at measures like the existing definition of unacceptable impacts, the powers of the EPA in terms of issuing approvals, which is a concern for us, but also the broad powers that it has in terms of stop work orders. And then, of course, there is the question of how we actually go about streamlining the approval process to get those benefits that secure projects for the country.
Well, let's have a look at some of the individual issues. How supportive is the Business Council of giving the states extended powers to approve fossil fuel developments?
Well, giving states the power to undertake their own assessments and approvals is absolutely critical from our perspective. Pardon me. One of the key things that we're finding with the existing system is that it's just not getting approvals through the process. Indeed, if you look at renewable energy applications in the years 2023 and 2024, what we've seen is that there were 76 projects that were submitted for approval, and not one has actually been approved. So what we're saying is that we need to do the kind of thing that Canada's done, which is say that if an approval has been issued by a province or a state, then that is sufficient for the federal government. We need to get to that point. And that's why we say one of the critical things that we need to see as part of these reforms is a commitment that at least one major state will be accredited for assessment and approvals, and that this takes place at the same time that the measures that are intended to protect the environment are switched on.
You were talking about streamlined approvals a short time ago. What are your thoughts on streamlined approvals, potentially at a granular level where it's not a one-size-fits-all, but rather project-based or geographically based?
Well, as I say, what I think we need to do is try and reduce the scope for red tape to clog up the system. And necessarily, I think that means making sure that right across the board, states are accredited to administer the federal scheme. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a diminution in the standard that applies. It means that states will ultimately have the power and the authorization to go ahead and undertake the types of important reviews and the assessments and ultimately the approvals that guarantee that projects can proceed, but also that in so doing, the right type of conditions are imposed to protect the environment along the way.
The Business Council supports net zero. What's it been like watching on as the coalition continues to debate this issue within its ranks?
Well, look, as you say, we support net zero, achieving that by 2050. From our perspective, the critical thing, though, is to note that we need to do that as a country affordably and reliably. So our effort and our focus is on working to ensure that the government's net zero planning, which is very much underway, and particularly in the context of setting sector-specific plans, is informed with an evidence base. That is, what is it that industry needs? What type of policy levers need to be pulled? And how can we do so effectively so as to ensure, as I say, that affordable and reliable transition to net zero?
Bram Blatker, anything missing in the detail? What do you want clarity on?
Well, the key thing for us in terms of those EPBC reforms, which are so very important, is to make sure that we can achieve the streamlining of approvals. If we can do that, that is our ticket, that is our pathway to unlocking the renewable energy, the housing, the critical minerals and the major infrastructure projects that we know the country needs. The simple point, Ken Henry indicated that these reforms are one of the critical levers that the Australian government can pull to drive productivity. We wholeheartedly agree. But as I say, there are key concerns that business has that need to be addressed along the way.
Bram Black, thank you.
Thanks so much for your time.
Bram is Chief Executive of the Business Council of Australia. And on Radio National Breakfast, you're hearing from two stakeholders giving their response to the details, as it's understood at the moment, of the government's Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, which the changes are going to go to Parliament today. Well, I'm going to bring in now Georgina Wood. Georgina is Head of Research and Investigation at what's known as the Lock the Gate Alliance. It's a lobby that stands against coal mining and fracking. Georgina, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me.
What can you see in these proposed reforms that would benefit the environment?
Well, the core of Graham Samuel's review and what has been promised all along is this notion of having national environmental standards. So decisions that are made, you know, in line with and agreed and accepted across the country standard to protect the environment. The problem with that, though, of course, is that a standard is only as good, as strong as the law that gives it effect. So if the law that the standard rests on is full of holes like Swiss cheese, the best standard in the world is not going to address the problem that we were trying to solve by amending this act, which is to actually start looking after Australia's natural heritage, reverse biodiversity decline, ensure we're handing future generations an Australia that we're proud of.
What would giving the states more of a say in approvals, would that be a good decision or a poor decision in your view?
Well, people in our network are deeply alarmed at the idea of the states having control of these decisions. I mean, these are nationally and internationally significant decisions. The point of the EPBC Act is to give effect to, you know, treaties Australia has signed about stuff that's like of international significance. The states and territories get very excited about mining royalties. You know, they have been known to succumb to corruption risks when it comes to dealings with developers. And in many instances, they're simply not up to the task of confidently making decisions in the national interest about environmental values that are of international significance.
Was your organisation invited to take part in consultations for these drafts?
We weren't, no. We were involved at one point in the previous Parliament under the previous Environment Minister in reading and responding to some material. But in this instance, no, we haven't been invited to take part.
How does this fit into the bigger picture for your organisation, particularly when there's been some opposition in some regional areas to renewable energy projects and the impact that might have on agricultural land?
Yeah, I mean, lots of people in our network live regionally and in rural and remote areas, and they do rely on federal environment law, I suppose, to be a bit of a check and balance against state governments, which tend to get rather enthusiastic about approving development. People are concerned about the degradation of the natural environment and do want this law improved. This is the fundamental thing. What problem is the Environment Minister trying to solve here? Are we trying to make more decisions, more bad decisions, more quickly, or are we actually trying to improve decision-making and make sure we are safeguarding and passing on Australia's rich natural heritage? That's what it all boils down to for us, and we are really alarmed by what we understand is in the package that's coming in today.
What do you think the chances are of this getting through in the next couple of weeks? That's all we've got left of the parliamentary sitting year.
Oh, that's a political question sort of well beyond us. I mean, we're very much on the ground dealing with what this piece of law does, you know, on a day-to-day basis to the environment and the communities that love it. But I guess the other really important thing that is baffling us is why the government appears to be ruling out fixing the long-standing problem in the EPBC Act in its blindfold about the impacts of climate change. We get report after report about how intensely climate change is already and will continue to damage Australia's natural environment. All of the matters that are protected by the EPBC Act are in jeopardy because of climate change. And at the moment, the Act actively prevents the minister from turning their mind to those consequences and even just thinking about what contribution their decision is going to make to making all of that worse. It's baffling that the government wouldn't be taking this opportunity to fix that huge gap.
Georgina, thanks so much for making some time to speak to Breakfast this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.